नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर नंबर 16। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द पयोव्रत प्रोसेस ऑफ वर्शिप। टेक्स्ट नंबर 15-19। वी विल टेक टेक्स्ट नंबर 16 हियर नाउ टुडे। दिस इज 19 वी आर टेकिंग टुडे। So first we'll read the verse and then we'll go through all the 15-19 verses. Text number 19.
Kva deho bhautiko natma, kva chatma prakrite para, kasya ke pati putradya, मोह एव हि कारणम्।
सो बिफोर आई रीड दिस ट्रांसलेशन आई वुड लाइक टू रीड ऑल द रिमेनिंग वर्सेस ऑल्सो बिकॉज दिस इज द लास्ट वन इन द सीरीज। सो टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 हैज ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। इट इज अ स्मॉल पर्पट ऑल्सो बट जस्ट टू लाइन Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada to text number 15. Therefore, most gentle Lord, kindly favor your maid servant. We have now been deprived of our opulence and residence by our competitors, the demons. Kindly give us protection. Purport. Aditi, the mother of the demigods, appealed to Kashyapa Muni to give the demigods protection. When we speak of the demigods, this also includes their mother. Text number 16, translation. The demons, our formidably powerful enemies, have taken away our opulence, our beauty, our fame, and even our residence. Indeed, we have now been exiled, and we are drowning in an ocean of trouble. Text number 17, translation. O best of sages, best of all those who grant auspicious benedictions, please consider our situation and bestow upon my sons the benedictions by which they can regain what they have lost. Text number 18. Shukdev Goswami continued, when Kashyapa Muni was thus requested by Aditi, he slightly smiled. Alas, he said, how powerful is the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu by which the entire world is bound by affection for children. Purport. Kashyapa Muni was surely sympathetic to his wife's affliction, yet he was surprised at how the whole world is influenced by affection. Text number 19. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Kashyapa Muni continued, what is this material body made of five elements? It is different from the spirit soul. Indeed, the spirit soul is completely different from the material elements from which the body is made. But because of bodily attachment, one is regarded as a husband or son. These illusory relationships are caused by misunderstanding. Purport. The spirit soul, Atma or Jiva, is certainly different from the body. This body is a combination of five material elements. This is a simple fact, but it is not understood unless one is spiritually educated. Kashyapa Muni met his wife Aditi in the heavenly planets, but the same misconception extends throughout the entire universe and is also here on earth. There are different grades of living entities, but all of them are more or less under the impression of the bodily conception of life. In other words, all living entities in this material world are more or less devoid of spiritual education. The Vedic civilization, however, is based on spiritual education, and spiritual education is a special basis on which Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructed Arjuna to understand that the spirit soul is different from the body. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Unfortunately, this spiritual education is completely absent from modern human civilization. No one understands his real self-interest, which lies with the spirit soul, not with the material body. Education means spiritual education. To work hard in the bodily conception of life without spiritual education is to live like an animal. Nayam deho deha bhajam driloke kashtan kaman arhate vid bhujam ye. Bhagavatam 5.5.1. People are working so hard simply for bodily comforts without education regarding the spirit soul. Thus they are living in a very risky civilization, for it is a fact that the spirit soul has to transmigrate from one body to another. Tata dehantara prapti. Without spiritual education, people are kept in dark ignorance and do not know what will happen to them after the annihilation of the present body. They are working blindly, and blind leaders are directing them. Andhan yathandir upaniyamanas tepi shatantram uridam nibaddha. Bhagavatam 7.5.31. A foolish person does not know that he is completely under the bondage of material nature, and that after death, material nature will impose upon him a certain type of body which he will have to accept. He does not know that although in his present body he may be a very important man, he may next get the body of an animal or tree because of his ignorant activities in the modes of material nature. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to give the true light of spiritual existence to all living entities. This movement is not very difficult to understand, and people must take advantage of it, for it will save them from the risky life of irresponsibility. Krishna. So we welcome all of you for our morning Bhagavatam class on Sunday here. I seek blessings of all the Vaishnavas, especially very senior devotees are sitting here. I have to seek blessings of Srinaji Prabhu sitting behind there. Also many other devotees whom I cannot see from here, hiding inside and trying not to conceal their identity. So, today's Bhagavatam class was supposed to be given by Gaur Gopal Prabhu, but unfortunately he is not here, and he told me to give class. So I told him, you are giving me a last minute class, you have to also tell me what should I speak. So based on his guidance, I will speak something on the situation of Diti. Diti is here very much lamenting for her sons. Prabhuji was mentioning that you can speak on Kunti Maharani, how she also was in lamentable position. And he told me to speak on Mahabharat, where, because he saw for many days I was reading Mahabharat, so he told me to connect all that. So I was reading a nice story. Nothing, not from the Vedas, but it's a modern day story. As one doctor was well known for treating his patients, and anyone who came to him would be treated, and he had a good record. So one night when he was closing his dispensary at 10:30 in the night, a man came running to him and he asked him, "Doctor, I have a big problem. I have a big problem." Doctor said, "Okay, come tomorrow. My dispensary opens in the morning, 9 o'clock. But I cannot wait. I have a big problem." So doctor said, "Okay, what's your problem?" He said, "I feel that I am the only person in the whole world who has a lot of problems. So tell me some people, give me a solution how I can overcome this problem." So doctor understood that this this patient does not require a pill or a medicine, but requires counseling. And night 10:30 was too late for counseling. So we told him, well, I know you have a lot of problems, but I can tell you that the world is full of problems. And this man said, no, I don't believe you. I feel that I am the only person in this whole world who has more problems. People may have some problems little here and there, but I have the maximum problems. So the doctor told him, okay, tomorrow morning you meet me at 7 o'clock and I will take you to a place in this whole world where there is no problem. So he was very happy. He went back. The morning, 7 o'clock, he was there before time. And doctor came out of his house and saw this man. So they drew very far away from the city and they came to a very big place which had big high walls. And doctor got down and told the person that you get down and this is a place where there is no problem. And the patient was surprised because the doctor had brought him to cremation ground. And doctor told, this is the place where everyone rests without any problem. Otherwise, this material world is full of problems. So we can see that Prabhupada is saying here that even in the heavenly planets, Diti is facing a major problem. Diti is not an ordinary lady. She is the mother of demigods. And it's a very amazing position. She is the mother of great demigods like Indra and all the other Adityas. And even she is facing a problem. And here in this particular chapter, we see how she has approached her husband, who happens to be also her Shiksha Guru. And she's seeking a solution of how she can protect her sons and get them back to power. We know that how the last chapter revealed that Bali Maharaj had driven all the demigods out of their heavenly realms and they were now hiding incognito, afraid of Bali. So Diti is asking for a solution and she's taking shelter of a representative of Krishna so that her problem can be solved. A similar case is also seen in the life of Kunti Maharani. Kunti Maharani also was a mother and the only difference, she had no husband like Aditi had, and her only shelter was Krishna. And we see throughout the life of Kunti Maharani how she was completely dependent on Krishna. In fact, she was constantly thinking of Krishna at all miserable times she was facing or her children were facing. We can see the life of Kunti Maharani that from birth she was born and she was raised and then she was sent to the kingdom of Kunti Bhoj, and the major problem occurred there that she got a child before she got married. She wanted to test the mantra given by Durvasa Muni, and then Sugradev gives Kunti Maharani Karna, a child, and Kunti had to somehow leave the child in the waters in the river. And then she gets married to Pandu, and Pandu gets a curse that he cannot even touch his wife. And then again, Pandu tells Kunti to get children through all the demigods. And then we see that how Pandu dies at an early age. And all his small children, they're all under Kunti Maharani. And Kunti Maharani had to come back to the kingdom, knowing well that she is entering a place where she was not appreciated. Her children were not appreciated. Dhritarashtra and his son Duryodhan were always wanting to destroy the Pandavas. And they played so much of game, they played a huge plot of so many times destroying the Pandavas. So Kunti Maharani, it is mentioned that when everything was over, she sang very beautiful prayers to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna was about to leave Hastinapur and go back to Dwarka because the battle of Kurukshetra was over. Yudhishthira was enthroned as emperor of the whole world. So Kunti Maharani was feeling separation from Lord Krishna, and she wonderfully recites these prayers. And we know that how Srimad Bhagavatam contains these beautiful prayers of Kunti Maharani. When I was hearing a lecture of a devotee who was speaking about on this topic of prayers of Queen Kunti, and he was mentioning that Kunti's prayer is very amazing, because what Kunti prayed It has also become a subject matter for even great renunciates to study. People who are renounced order of life, they also take inspiration from Kunti Maharani's prayer. Even though Kunti Maharani is a lady, but great sannyasis, they recite this prayer and they find that it is one of the most important part of Srimad Bhagavatam, where a person is expressing her desire of surrender to Krishna. So we can see that Kunti Maharani's prayers are not ordinary prayers, prayers with deep feeling of affection. Throughout her life, she has been thinking about Krishna. And now that Krishna is going, she is very much unhappy, and therefore she is praying. In fact, it is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada says in one of the purports, if we get time, we'll discuss that. Srila Prabhupada says that Kunti Maharani's position was almost like Devaki's position, but still Kunti Maharani's position was a little different. What was the difficulty? The difficulty was Devaki also was put in trouble by her own relatives. And Kunti also was troubled by her relatives. But Kunti's position was more difficult because at least Devaki had her husband. Kunti had no husband. And therefore, because Kunti had no husband and she was in more dangerous situations, Prabhupada says, therefore Lord Krishna saved her more. Prabhupada says that Krishna did not save the six children of Devaki, but Krishna did save all the five Pandavas because Kunti was in more difficult situation. And wherever there is a lot of difficulty, Krishna gives more protection. That is Krishna's reciprocal relationship with his devotees. So Kunti Maharani starts her prayer and she mentions, Namashya Purusham Twadyam Ishwaram Prakriti Param Alaksham Sarabhutanam Antar Bahir Avastitam. She is praying, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you. Because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Now it is mentioned here that Kunti Maharani, by relation, she was Krishna's aunt. And therefore it doesn't behoove Kunti to offer obeisances to her own nephew. But she knows that Krishna is not just my nephew, but he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unlike other times, whenever Krishna met Kunti Maharani, Krishna always offered obeisances and touched her lotus feet. But here, Kunti Maharani is now she is in a constitutional position, approaching the Lord as a devotee, not as an aunt. And she is shelterless. And therefore, she knows that even though he is my nephew, still he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, immediately she offers obeisances and she glorifies Krishna as the original Supreme Person. So she continues to say that, Krishna, you are amazing because you are invisible to the foolish observer, and you come in this human descent, acting like a human being. But how wonderfully you have covered all living entities, and you are not letting them know that you are Supreme Person. That's your greatness, that you have come and yet no one has understood you. Maya Javanika Channam. You have put a curtain of illusory energy so that no one can see you. Someone may ask a question, why should Krishna put a curtain of illusory energy? Because we have all come to this material world to enjoy. We can only enjoy if we know that there is no competition for us. And if you know that Krishna is the biggest competitor, then we'll be depressed. We'll not be able to enjoy. So Krishna has to put that curtain so that we try to enjoy and try our best and then come to conclusion that without Krishna, we cannot enjoy. So it is for our benefit that Krishna puts that Javanika Channam, that curtain of illusory energy, Maya Javanika Channam. She continues, she mentions that Krishna, you have descended to propagate devotional service and annihilate the demons. And by your mercy, even me, a lady, can know you perfectly. So she is very humble also. Even though she is Krishna's aunt, she is displaying herself as a lady who is not protected properly and therefore needs help. And then she mentions that, let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and other coward men of Vrindavan, and the enliver of cows and senses. So Kunti Maharani is thinking of Vrindavan. Even while staying in Hastinapur, her mind is in Vrindavan. So we can see this is a devotee. Devotee can be in the midst of difficulties, but she can think of Krishna. So she didn't think of Krishna as Dwarkadish, not Krishna in front of in Hastinapur, but Krishna as Vrindavan Chandra, son of Nanda and Yashoda. So Prabhupada mentions beautifully that Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. Prabhupada says beautifully, in the Ram incarnation he remained a king's son from his very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although he was son of a king, he at once left the shelter of his real father and mother and went to lap of Yashodamai to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in Brajbhumi. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful, because Lord Ram was a king's son and he remained in Ayodhya, and therefore his access was not easily available. But Lord Krishna, he kept on moving from one place to another and gave his access to all of his devotees. Therefore, Lord Krishna is very merciful. Prabhupada says, he was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother Vasudev and the family. Had he not become son of Vasudev and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew, and thus addresses Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Yashoda are very fortunate, because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to his childhood pastimes as exhibited at Brajbhumi. So in this way, Kunti is very clearly demarcating that how Krishna and Vrindavan is special than any other incarnation. However, we should know that Krishna's Vrindavan incarnation is special doesn't mean that other incarnations are not special. Because we are born in this material world, we are subjected to the tendencies and the rule which goes on in the material world. In this material world, we know that if one thing is good, other is bad. That is the material world. Like for example, if someone comes and tells you that ye dukan ka peda acha hai, which means baki sab dukan ka peda kharab hai. It's understood. This peda is good, this sweet is good. That means other sweets are not so good. But when someone mentions that Krishna's incarnation is super excellent, beautiful, it doesn't put down other incarnations. They're also very beautiful. But as Prabhupada says, because Lord Krishna was very merciful, therefore Lord Krishna's pastimes are more beautiful and they are more sweet. In fact, it is mentioned that Krishna, he was more attractive because he could reciprocate with so many of his devotees. When Krishna came as Narasimha and Vara, there was no chance of reciprocation. When Lord Krishna himself came, he gave all the five rasas available to all of his devotees, and he gave them chance to he gave them chance to love him very much. And therefore, devotees who are attached to Vrindavan Krishna, they find Vrindavan Krishna is special than other Krishna's incarnation. But nonetheless, as Prabhupada says, all incarnations are equally potent and they can bestow you pure love of Godhead. Kunti Maharani continues and she mentions, she offers obeisances to the Lord, saying that Namo Pankaja Namaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangrihe. Oh, my respectful obeisance unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, Namo Pankaja Netraya, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, Namaste Pankajangrihe, whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport here that when one takes darshan of the Lord, one should begin the darshan by seeing the lotus feet of Krishna, the deity. One should not directly go and see the lotus face of the Lord, but one should go and humbly see the lotus feet and slowly, slowly progress and see the lotus face of the Krishna. So this is the etiquette while seeing the deities. However, here in this particular shloka, it is mentioned Kunti Maharani is saying Nama Pankaja Nabhaya. That means Krishna's. She is mentioning Namo Pankaja Nabhaya first, and then Namaste Pankajangrihe. Feet is mentioned last, and first is mentioned navel. So Prabhupada says that Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet, because the Lord might feel ashamed And thus Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet. So even while praying, she is so conscious about how to make Krishna happy. And Kunti mentions this beautiful verse. O Rishikesh, master of the senses, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious king Kamsa, and you released me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So Kunti Maharani cannot forget this. She is remembering all those dangers which she had to face, and how Krishna one by one removed her and her sons from all the dangers. And Prabhupada mentions what are different dangers Kunti Devi and her sons face. Prabhupada says, Kunti Devi was shown more favor because Lord Krishna did not save the other children of Devaki, whereas he saved the children of Kunti Devi. This was done because Devaki's husband Asudeva was living, whereas Kunti Devi was a widow and there was none to help her except Krishna. Now, she mentions in the next verse how Krishna helped her. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake. You know how Bhimsen was, as a small child, was fed poison in a cake by Duryodhan. But Krishna helped. Bhimsen was thrown in the waters, and Bhimsen went inside the water, but he came out more powerful. The Naga Loka planets where he went, the Nagas were very much surprised to see such a big, gigantic child entering the waters. So the Nagas started biting the child. And because they bit Bhimsen with the poison, and Bhimsen's body was already fully poisonous, the two poisons counteracted each other. And Bhimsen came up again. And Bhimsen was brought to the Nagaloka chief, and he, because he was related to Kunti Devi, he offered the power of 10,000 elephants to Bhimsen. So Krishna helped, not just saved Bhimsen, but the whole ordeal brought Bhimsen back with not double power, but 10,000 powers. That is Krishna's mercy. Then Kunti Devi mentions that how you saved from a great fire. She is mentioning about the house of Shalak at Varanavrat. What is that? Varanavrat. How Krishna saved them, how Vidura was very intelligently maneuvering the whole plot, and how he revealed to Pandavas how they can escape from that house of Shalak. And then she mentions that how you saved us from cannibals. That means she is mentioning about Hidimba attacking the five Pandavas in the night in the forest. And how Bhimsen made a pulp of Hidimba. And then Hidimbi got married to Bhimsen. That resulted in Katochka's coming and helping later. And how Krishna helped the Pandavas in the vicious assembly. That how the Pandavas were called for a dice match, and that unfairly they were defeated and Draupadi was insulted. Yet Krishna, among all that thing, was still helping the Pandavas. And then suffering during the exile in the forest. And then she mentions a very powerful thing. From the battle where great generals fought. Prabhupada mentions elsewhere in some purport that Lord Krishna was the only positive thing on the side of Pandavas, because Pandavas had actually no chance against the Kauravas. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it is mentioned that not only the Kauravas had more army, they had 11 Akshuhini compared to 7 of Pandavas, but Kaurava army had generals whom Srila Prabhupada compared in his purport to be like Timingala and whale and shark fishes in an ocean which Arjuna had to swim across. And it was because of Krishna that the whole battle came in the favor of Pandavas. Otherwise, it was very difficult. I was going through the Mahabharata and I saw that actually it is not just saying that Krishna helped and the Pandavas victorious. Sometimes it might happen that we may do some activity and we may not see Krishna's hand in that. And we may say, Krishna did it. But maybe internally, at least I will not be convinced that Krishna helped me. But we have to say it, okay, Krishna helped me. But in the Mahabharata war, it was actually seen even by eyes that how Krishna was helping the Pandavas. That was to the limit Krishna came down to help the Pandavas. Because Krishna promises that his devotees will never perish. And Krishna even comes down to personal level, physical level, and shows that how he protects his devotees. Even though he can get his agents do the work, but Krishna is so personal If someone has given his life for him, Krishna will give his own personal self for him. So I'll just go through some series of incidents in Mahabharata, and we'll see that how Krishna helped the Pandavas, even though there stood no chance for Pandavas to win this battle. And then we'll continue with Kunti Maharani's prayer. We know that how when the battle was decided finally, it was then all the both the parties were trying to get armies and their friends on their side, and a time came when Krishna had to join, and Duryodhan and Arjuna decided that they will approach Krishna and ask for his favor. Now Krishna was that day taking rest when both of them approached. Duryodhan approached Krishna first, and we know that how Duryodhan went and directly sat near the lotus head of Krishna, because he had no respect for Krishna. He had just come because he wanted some help. When Arjuna came, he sat at the lotus feet of Krishna. And when Krishna woke up, what happens? When you wake up, you don't see like this. You just directly see the person in front of you, or you see the sight in front of you. So Krishna saw whom? Arjuna. So he told Duryodhan, well, I have seen Arjuna first, so anyhow, he is younger to you, so give him a chance to ask. And Duryodhan was worrying, oh, I missed the chance. I came first, but I missed it. And Krishna then offered, okay, you have a choice. Either me, I'll be on your side, but I will not fight, or my whole Narayani Sena. So immediately Arjuna, without a second thought, asked that, I want you, Krishna. And Duryodhan was smiling inside. He was thinking, Arjuna is so foolish. He doesn't know mathematics also. One and there are thousands, millions of soldiers there. And Krishna is not even fighting also. So then he says, Krishna, that, well, if Arjuna has asked, how can I say no? Because he is my brother. Duryodhana was a real diplomatic person. He knew how to talk. But because he was diplomatic and was cunning, his diplomacy was, he could not hide his diplomacy. The whole world laughed at it, but he thought that he is very diplomatic. So Krishna in this way took the side of Arjuna. And we saw that how Balramji was approached, and Balramji did not take anyone's side. That is another side of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then his own expansion as Balramji favored little more Duryodhan than Bhimsen. But somehow Krishna arranged that Balramji is out of the war for everyone's good. And Balramji decides to go for a pilgrimage. And then we see that how as the days progress, it is mentioned that both the armies, they assembled on the battlefield. And it is mentioned that Shalya, Pandava's uncle, Shalya was the brother of Madri, who was the mother of Nakula and Sahadeva. So Shalya had come to join Pandava's side. But on the way, it is mentioned that Duryodhan had arranged a royal reception for Shalya. And Shalya felt that Pandavas had arranged his reception. He was very happy. The whole army, which had been fatigued after a long travel, had come, and they were well received. He was so happy that he mentioned that anyone who has done these arrangements, I will satisfy him, whatever he wants. And immediately Duryodhan comes up from hiding, and he says, I have arranged for this. And Shalya had to ask, okay, whatever you ask, today I'll give you. And Duryodhan knew that Shalya was a very powerful Maharathi. His support will be very crucial, because he knew that Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna. And he thought that we don't have a charioteer like Krishna. We need a charioteer like someone like Krishna. And he had heard from sources that Shalya was also a very capable charioteer. And in times of need, he might also become a charioteer. So therefore, Duryodhan went and asked that you join our side. Shalya as a Kshatriya, he could not refuse. So he said, okay, I'll join your side. But he was not happy. So he decided that at least I'll go and visit the Pandavas and then join this army. So when he went to Pandavas, he revealed what had happened. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was very unhappy. But then Krishna arranged that Yudhishthira Maharaj to ask for a benediction from Shalya. And the benediction was, Krishna arranged that Maharaj Yudhishthira somehow or other could understand that when Arjuna will confront with Karna, Karna will require a charioteer. And Duryodhan definitely will have Shalya as a charioteer. So that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj told Shalya that since you are my uncle and you want me to give me some benediction, since you're not joining. I ask you benediction that when you join Karna as a charioteer, speak discouraging words to him as a charioteer. Don't encourage him. Always put him down, and that will put down his enthusiasm in fighting with Arjuna. So in this way, Krishna helped Yudhishthira Maharaj to ask a timely benediction which will help later in the battle of Kurukshetra. So this Krishna was intervening in between seeing that all the devotees are in proper protection. Before the battle began, when all the conch shells were loudly sounded, it is mentioned that Bhishma was not happy because he was waiting for someone, and that was Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj got down from his chariot and came to Bhishma and Drona and Shalya and sought their blessings. And Bhishma told that, I was waiting for you. If you had not come, I would have killed your whole army in one day. But because you followed the etiquette, now I am so happy with you. Ask what you want. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I am asking for blessings for victory. And Bhishma said, yes, you will be victorious. And Drona also says, you also be victorious. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, but how can I be victorious when you are standing there? You are Bhishma who cannot be killed. You are Ichha Mrutyu. You will die only of your own desire. And Drona, you are our teacher. Everything we know, you know everything. So how can we defeat you? And immediately then Bhishma, Deva and Dronacharya reveal that if you want to get victory, you can defeat us only by these two ways. And Bhishma reveals that how he will never raise his weapons against any lady, any woman. And then told that how in your army there is Shikhandi, if you take advantage of him and you can fight with me. And Dronacharya also mentions that I am undefeatable, but it is mentioned that Dronacharya says, I will read the exact words. Drona mentions that only when I lay down my weapons and I'm prepared for death, that means when I prepare myself for death and give up my weapons, then only someone can kill me. And how that will happen? Then he mentions that when I will hear something disagreeable for me, but from some credible source, I shall abandon my arms and cease fighting. So these two secrets were revealed to Yudhishthira Maharaj on the beginning of the battlefield, Battle of Kurukshetra. So in this way, both the blessings of great generals who were like powerful Maharathis, no one can defeat them, that blessings Yudhishthira Maharaj got. And it is mentioned that the rules of battle were laid down. It is mentioned that both the commanders, Bhishma and Drishtadyumna, they came together. And the rules were laid down like that first is warriors should fight with equals and with equal weapons. This is very important because many times we may confused why this happened to some particular contradictory character, why this was done by Krishna. This was the rules of the battle, that warriors should fight with equals and with equal weapons. And no one should strike without warning or first challenging anyone. And thirdly, one who surrenders or one who is fleeing away should not be struck down. And lastly, servants who are carrying weapons should not be killed. Then as Bhishma was about to leave, then Drishtadyumna called Bhishma and told him, we will respect all the stipulations, but if Kauravas forget this argument, then we too shall also adapt all the tricks and not follow this rule. However, we will not be the first one to break these rules. That means unless Kauravas break the rules, we will not break. But if they break the rules, then we will also employ all the tactics and break all the rules. And then we see that how Vyasadeva goes to Hastinapur and he tells Dhritarashtra that if you want, I can give you the vision to see the battle of Kurukshetra. Now Dhritarashtra knows very well that chances for his son's winning is very less. But he is again still hoping against hope. So he says, no, I don't want to see any vision. Why? Because it will very, very much pain me to see my own sons dying. So better you give vision to Sanjay, because there will be less pain in hearing than seeing. Then Vyasadev tells Sanjay that not only you will see the battle of Kurukshetra, but you will even see some things which are concealed even at night, which no one can see. It is a secret, but that will be revealed to you. So that was Sanjay's vision. Now before the battle was about to begin, Krishna tells Arjuna that now you should seek blessings of Durga Devi. So Arjuna comes down from his chariot and he prays intensely to Durga Devi. And it is mentioned Durga Devi appears in front of Krishna, Mahabharata says. And she mentions that you are already victorious. Why should I give benediction to you? Because you have with you Narayan himself on your chariot. And therefore, still, if you want, I benedict you that you will be victorious in this battle and Pandavas will come uprighteous and the Kauravas will be killed. It is mentioned that when the battle began, it was a terrific battle on the first day of Kurukshetra war. The first day of Kurukshetra saw Bhishma rampaging the army of Pandavas. It is mentioned that Bhishma was striking terror in the whole army. Pandava army was fleeing away from the battlefield. And on the first day, Virat Raja, he had his two sons, were brutally killed by Bhishma Dev. So the first day ended with Kauravas very happy and dancing in joy and Pandavas cheerless. Second day also went same way and Bhishma had a rampage and he destroyed so many. Bhishma had a power to kill 10,000 soldiers in one day. That was his power. And it is mentioned that on third day, beginning of third day, Krishna immediately told Arjuna that you cannot leave Bhishma like this now. Otherwise, what will happen? You five Pandavas will remain, all of you around you, there will be no army. So you will have to engage Bhishma Dev in fighting. Somehow, some Kshatriya should always engage him. And immediately then it was told that how Yudhishthir Maharaj and then Dhrishtadyumna and how Satyaki should always go and engage. Somehow Bhishma should be engaged. He should not be let out because then he will destroy the whole army. So in this way, by Krishna's intervention, Bhishma was stopped, his rampage was stopped. But then Bhimsen got chance. He was not getting chance first 2 days. But then third day he got a chance. And then he saw all the as soon as he would see some Kaurava, one of the brothers of Duryodhan, then he would remember all that vows he has taken. And immediately it is mentioned Bhimsen created terror in the whole army. On third day he killed 14 brothers of Duryodhan. And that shocked Duryodhan like anything. Because Duryodhan's brother would actually avoid Bhimsen. It was a huge battle. It is mentioned the battle was so huge when later when Krishna wanted to, Arjuna wanted to kill Jayadratha, Jayadratha was the end of the battle, the army, and it was 50 miles long. Can you imagine how long the army can be? So definitely they can hide somewhere and avoid Bhimsen. But somehow or other Bhimsen definitely came searching for them and 14 Kauravas were killed on one day. And they were not, I mean, they were really brutally smashed by Bhimsen. Whatever Bhimsen got, he used that to kill them. Like Mahabharata mentions many times that Bhimsen made a pulp of many of the Kauravas. Like that. So, it is mentioned that when Bhimsen struck terror in the army of Kauravas, then Duryodhan became very much angry because he was also feeling the sad and separation from of his own brothers. So that night he approached Bhishma and said, you are not fighting to your full capacity. You have a lot of softness for Pandavas. And till you carry this softness in your heart for Pandavas, there is no chance for a victory. So he incited Bhishma that you should do it. And Bhishma told him, no, I am fighting with my full vigor. But as I told you, Arjuna is undefeatable because Krishna is with him. Even if I have my full power, I cannot defeat Arjuna because Krishna's factor is there. But Duryodhana could not understand. And he kept on chastising Bhishma that you are not fighting to your full capacity. So Bhishma said, okay, now I promise you, tomorrow I will kill the five Pandavas. That means I will have five, then Bhishma called his goddess five arrows out and put those five arrows. He chanted a very secret mantra for some time. Then with that full mantra power, he empowered those five arrows and told Duryodhana, these are the five arrows for five Pandavas. And Duryodhana was very happy. But Duryodhana knew that, you know, it's very difficult. Bhishma today has taken a vow, tomorrow he might change. So immediately he told, okay, I'll keep these five arrows with me. And tomorrow morning in the battlefield, I'll deliver these five arrows to you. So before Duryodhana left, Bhishma told him that even though I have kept these five arrows for the five Pandavas, know that Krishna is on the side of Pandavas. These five arrows, if are there with me, I'll kill them. But I don't know what will happen with these five arrows. And Duryodhana goes, that this happens in midnight. No one in the Kaurava army also knows about his five arrows, except Bhishma and Duryodhana. And Duryodhana in the midnight, he's very happy, sees the five arrows. He's cherishing, he's even putting it on his head. Puts the five arrows under his pillow. and decides to take shelter, rest. And then he hears a knock. When he hears a knock, he sees Arjuna in his tent. Arjuna has come without any weapon, without any anything. He just has come unarmed. And Duryodhana is surprised. Arjuna, midnight? How can you come at midnight? So then he mentions that how Duryodhana, you had given me a vow long back when I had saved you from the Gandharvas, that whatever you want, you ask. And I told you that I don't need anything now. And you said, okay, any time you can ask. So Duryodhana was taken aback. And then he was asked, and then he told Arjuna that, what do you want? You want kingdom? I'll give you now kingdom. Of course, Duryodhana knew that Arjuna is not a coward, that he will ask for kingdom. Therefore, he said, if you want kingdom, I can give you. And then Arjuna said, give me those fire arrows. And even Duryodhana is surprised. How can anyone know about these fire arrows? And it happens that Krishna is telling Arjuna that you go to Duryodhana. And Duryodhana is thinking, and Arjuna is thinking, why should I go to Duryodhana in the midnight to enemy's camp? He said, go. Because Duryodhana has those fire arrows which Bhishma has given them. Get those fire arrows. So even Krishna is intelligently driving all the forces so that always the Pandavas are saved. So Krishna sent and got the fire arrows. In the morning when Duryodhana goes, then Bhishma says, give those arrows. And said, oh, those arrows are gone. Who has taken? Arjuna has taken. So Bhishma said, oh, I told you. Till Krishna is there, it's very difficult to defeat. But Duryodhana said, chill, but at least you are there. Arrow is not there, but the person who is going to shoot arrow, you are there. Why can't you take a challenge? And Bhishma said, okay, I will take a vow today. That today, I will slay Arjuna. That means I will fully, Arjuna will be slayed or Krishna has to break his own vow. That is my vow. My vow will be either I will kill Arjuna today or either Krishna will have to break his vow. And Bhishma enters and he fights valiantly, and we know that how on that day no one can stand in front of him. And the whole battle begins, and Bhishma is shooting arrows like wildfire, and thousands and thousands of soldiers are massacred. And Arjuna comes to save the grace, and even Arjuna is fully shaken. Bhishma completely shoots so many arrows to Arjuna that Arjuna is bewildered, and a point comes when Arjuna is completely helpless. And Bhishma then takes an arrow, and he keeps that arrow on the bow, which is about to kill Arjuna. And that's then Krishna immediately gets down from the chariot, takes out the wheel of the chariot and goes to attack Bhishma. Seeing Krishna, immediately Bhishma leaves all of his bows and arrows and he surrenders to Krishna. Happy that Krishna is coming and putting him, and he will be the cause of his death. He is happy that he will die in the hands of Krishna. However, Arjuna comes and it is mentioned that he keeps Krishna away from throwing that chariot wheel. So Acharya has mentioned, especially Prabhupada mentions in the purport of that, of the first canto, that first canto or third canto, which canto? First canto mentions, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is very much interested in his devotee's vow than his own vow. So Krishna, he took that chariot wheel, not that Krishna could not have arranged Arjuna to defeat Bhishma, but Krishna was worried that if Bhishma had taken a vow that I should break my vow, so that vow has to be fulfilled because my own devotee has taken that vow. How can my devotee's vow go down? So therefore, I will break my own vow and let Bhishma's vow will be fulfilled. So in this way, Arjuna was saved, and it is mentioned then that how Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj to go to Bhishma next day and ask from him how he can be killed. And then he told specifically that today you can kill me, bring Shikhandi like that. So then we know that Arjuna bought Shikhandi, and then he drew all his arrows through Bhishma and he fell down. While Bhishma was waiting for his death, then the new commander in chief came, that was Dronacharya. And it is mentioned that when Dronacharya came, Dronacharya also was incited by the Kaurava army. Especially Duryodhana was continuously inciting Dronacharya that you are also very much having a soft heart with the Pandavas. Therefore, unless you fight vigorously, it is not possible for me to be victorious. And Dronacharya promised Duryodhana that, I promised you that I will try my best today to capture Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because if I capture Yudhishthira Maharaj, then the battle will end there. because Pandavas will not able to fight without their elder brother. So this vow was taken in front of the Kaurava army, but Krishna understood this vow and immediately arranged the whole formation that Yudhishthir Maharaj will always remain behind and he will at least have 4 or 5 warriors supporting him so that Dronacharya does not get next to him and make him capture. In this way, Krishna, throughout the battle of Kurukshetra till Dronacharya was there, always arranged for protection of Yudhishthir Maharaj so that Dronacharya does not capture Yudhishthir. So this is one thing which Krishna protected Pandavas, especially Yudhishthir Maharaj, from Dronacharya. Now, it is mentioned that the second day after Dronacharya became commander-in-chief, he decided that today he will, without fail, capture Yudhishthir. And then he arranged for the Chakravyuh formation. And Mahabharata mentions that how Duryodhana had told one of his allied kings, Susharma, that he should go and he should engage Arjuna in fighting very far away with your army. Because Chakravyuh can only be spoiled or thwarted by Arjuna and no one else. So when Arjuna was taken away, the Chakravyuh formation was there and no one could penetrate. And Yudhishthir Maharaj was thinking that today I will be captured. But immediately Krishna reminded Yudhishthir Maharaj, Abhimanyu came and told Yudhishthir Maharaj that I know about Chakravyuh, but only thing, I just know how to go inside, I cannot come out. So all the Pandavas, remaining Pandavas, told him that okay, no problem, we'll be behind you, we'll protect you. And then we see that how Abhimanyu enters, and then how Jayadratha had got a boon that one day in his life he will be able to overpower the 4 Pandavas. That day was that was a day when he overpowered the 4 Pandavas, and the Abhimanyu was kept was inside alone in a Chakravyuh. But he fought so valiantly that even Dronacharya was defeated, he had to flee. Karna had was defeated, he fled. Duryodhana was also insulted. No one could stand. At a point came when all of the warriors together were fighting with Abhimanyu, and still he was surviving. And then Karna went to Dronacharya and asked, how can we kill him? Because if we not kill him, then he will massacre our whole army, Arun. And it will be very painful that a young child has come inside the army and destroyed all of us. So Dronacharya said, he can be only defeated if someone can cut his bow strings and his bow. So Karna took that advice and from behind he shot arrow and cut his bow string and bow. And then he was without bow and arrow. And then he was left alone. Then he came down on the chariot. The chariot was destroyed and ruthlessly Abhimanyu was killed. So when Abhimanyu was killed, it is mentioned that Arjuna became very much unhappy and then he took a vow that he will kill Jayadrath the next day. And Krishna called him and said, how can you take such a vow without even thinking? Is it an ordinary vow that you will kill Jayadrath the next day, and if you do not kill there, you will self-immolate yourself? Do you know tomorrow they will not attack you, they will be in defense. The whole army of Kaurava will be in defense just to protect Jayadrath, because they know if they protect Jayadrath tomorrow, then you will die. And if you die, then the whole battle of Kurukshetra is over. So Arjuna understands that he has taken this vow suddenly without thinking. But he doesn't mind because Krishna tells him, okay, don't worry, we'll do something tomorrow. Then it is mentioned that how Arjuna, he is on a rampage. It is mentioned that because Jayadrath was very far away, Arjuna had to somehow reach him before the sun sets. So Arjuna was surrounded by so many warriors that literally, but Arjuna had no time to just fight with them. So he would shoot arrows and he would just keep moving. And it is mentioned that as soon as Arjuna's chariot would move, behind Arjuna's chariot there would be highway inside the army of Kauravas. That means he would just slay like he would continuously keep on slaying all the Kaurava army. And finally he kept on defeating so many people, and Duryodhana was very much anxiety because Arjuna was rapidly approaching Jayadratha. And then it is mentioned that he tells Dronacharya, do something. Try to confront him. And Dronacharya mentions that I tried to confront him, but he just defeats me and runs away. He's not engaging himself in fighting with me because he knows he doesn't have time. So again and again Dronacharya keeps coming again and confronts Arjuna, but Arjuna just defeats him and runs and goes ahead because he has no time. So Duryodhana becomes angry and tells Dronacharya that why you are not empowering someone else? And Dronacharya says, okay, I'll empower you. And Duryodhana has an invisible armor. So he ties that armor around Duryodhana and said, with this armor, no weapon can enter your armor. Go and fight with Arjuna. So Duryodhana goes and he challenges Arjuna. And Arjuna is surprised. Duryodhana was always fleeing away from me. And even the Kaurava army is surprised at how Duryodhana is challenging Arjuna. So Krishna then Arjuna shoots arrow at Duryodhana. And that all those arrows hit the armor, but nothing happens to Duryodhana. Then Arjuna is surprised and Krishna tells Arjuna that this is the invisible armor of Dronacharya. But Arjuna is very intelligent. Immediately he shoots arrow, and Mahabharata mentions that he shoots arrow in such a way that even though the whole armor is there are some parts of Duryodhana's body still exposed, especially Duryodhana's nails. And it is mentioned that Arjuna directs all his arrows at Duryodhana's nails. And when those arrows hits Duryodhana's nail, he starts crying in pain and he runs away. He cannot handle Arjuna now. So even with that invisible armor like that, Krishna has his devotee protected and his vow fulfilled. So Krishna tells Arjuna to keep going. And one time Krishna tells Arjuna that now your chariot has come a long distance, your horses are fatigued, it's already past midday, and it looks like your horses will not make their way till Jayadrath because they need some rest. So arrange for some resting place for them. The battlefield of Kurukshetra, where there can be resting place. But Arjuna is very intelligent. It is mentioned that Arjuna immediately shoots an arrow which creates from the ground a lake of water. And tells Krishna to take the chariot there. He gets down from the chariot and he fights from on the ground. And there is no chariot. So while Krishna is bringing a chariot to the lake, immediately Arjuna also arranges a volley of arrows shoot in such a way that it creates a huge globe-like surrounding which fully encompasses the whole lake water, the whole lake. That means Krishna is there inside the whole arrow building which is made by Arjuna, and no one can even enter that place. And Krishna gives a lot of rest to the horses. He tames the horses, he actually pats the horses, gives them water. That means Arjuna created a retreat center in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That was Arjuna's power. So then after a few hours, then Krishna comes out and the horses are ready for fighting. And then it is mentioned that Krishna tells Arjuna now to start. Now time is very less, you should move fast. And it is mentioned that at a particular time, when 2 miles were still remaining to reach Jayadrath, and the sun was fastly coming down, and Krishna knew that even if Arjuna could just now run like this, I mean, the chariot moves very fast, still they cannot reach. So Krishna immediately decides to employ his illusory energy and tricks, and it is seen that the sun has set. And when the sun is set now, all the Kaurava army is very happy that now that Arjuna is going to self-immolate himself. And they completely throw their weapons, they are dancing in joy, jubilation. And even Jayadrath also is happy, he is dancing Hari Bol. And all the warriors are now completely relaxed. And then immediately Krishna could see from very far, from 2 miles long, that now Jayadrath can be seen. He is seen dancing. So immediately says Arjuna, Arjuna, I just employed a trick, the sun is not set. And immediately the sun can again be seen. And then Krishna tells Arjuna, kill him, but kill him in such a way that his head should not fall to the ground. Because his father has got a benediction that anyone who makes his son's head fall to the ground, that person's head will break into thousands of pieces. So you shoot your arrow such a way that that head goes on the lap of his father, who is very close from here doing tapasya, sitting down in meditation with closed eyes. So Arjuna hits the arrow, Jayadrath is beheaded, his head is carried by the arrow directly to the lap of his father who is doing meditation. Now he's doing meditation, his eyes are closed, and suddenly something comes in his lap. So he opens his eyes and he sees a dirty head, so immediately throws the head. And because he has thrown his son's head, it is mentioned that his father's head his father said smashed into thousands of pieces. So in this way, Krishna protects Arjuna again. Then when Jayadrath is killed, Arjuna is very much dissatisfied because his Jayadrath happens to his own brother-in-law. And therefore, Duryodhana is again incited, and then he challenges Karna this time. That what you are doing, you're good for nothing. You're not fighting with Arjuna properly. You should kill him immediately. And Karna tells that, oh, yes, I want to meet him, but some other time it's evading us. We are not able to meet each other properly. So meanwhile, when Dronacharya is having a rampage, then Krishna tells Pandavas that now they should somehow end Dronacharya, because without him being killed, there is no chance of victory. And Krishna reminds Yudhishthira Maharaj that how Dronacharya had revealed how he can be killed. And then he tells all of them that only when Dronacharya hears that Ashwatthama is killed, will he be disheartened and give up fighting. But then who will tell this? So it is a lie. How can you speak like this? Arjuna says that. Krishna says that for a person who never followed virtue in the battlefield, who instructed Karna to kill Abhimanyu in his unfair way, he was the one who broke this war strategy. And therefore, there is no wrong in employing a lie to kill him. Krishna always told Pandavas that for a person who is not following adharma, to kill him in the way of dharma is actually glorification. A person is not following dharma, and to kill him by means of dharma, it's a glorification for him. Why are you glorifying him? Kill him the same way. He deserves that death. So in this way, Krishna urged, but Yudhishthira Maharaj was still reluctant. So immediately Bhimsen understood that there is one person, there is one elephant in the army of Kauravas, whose also name is Ashwatthama. So Bhimsen goes searching for that elephant and immediately kills the elephant. And he starts shouting, Ashwatthama is killed, Ashwatthama is killed, and comes to Dronacharya, Ashwatthama is killed. And Dronacharya cannot believe it. How can my son be killed? But he is still thinking, maybe Bhimsen cannot be relied upon. So he continues to fight. When Dronacharya is fighting, a host of great sages come on the horizon and they chastise Dronacharya. Dronacharya, you are a Brahmana, but you have lost your Brahmanical culture. You entered this battle, you lost your Brahmanical culture, and now what you are doing? You are using your divine weapons to destroy ordinary soldiers. That means you don't deserve to live now. Get ready for die. Get ready for being slayed by the Pandavas. So Dronacharya becomes afflicted by these words of sages. And Dronacharya decides that nonetheless, I'll still fight. But he's still confused that sages have told that now my time has come. And he's thinking that Ashwatthama also is killed. But how can Ashwatthama be killed? So then he sees Yudhishthira Maharaj and tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, what I heard is right or wrong? And Yudhishthira Maharaj hesitates. But then he says, Mahabharata mentions that Yudhishthira Maharaj says loudly, Ashwatthama is killed. And then he says, very soft voice, the elephant. So immediately Dronacharya hears that and he knows that now my son is killed. How I can leave now? So he immediately gives up his bow and arrow. He sits on the chariot. And even in the midst of such a difficult situation, it is mentioned Dronacharya, because he was Brahman, even though he had fallen down, but because he had that sanskara, he was meditating on Lord Vishnu. Sometimes sitting in the temple, I cannot chant Hare Krishna, thinking of Krishna. But Dronacharya was sitting inside the whole battle is going on. So much of shouting is going on and so much of painful agony cries are there. And he is meditating on Lord Vishnu. And immediately Dronacharya gives up his body. So Dronacharya gives up his body, but his body is still there, sitting. And Drushtadyumna, who was born for the reason of killing Dronacharya, he takes this chance, he comes out, and with his sword he chops the head of Dronacharya. So by Krishna's intervention, now Dronacharya is destroyed. And now definitely all the chances are very much bright for Pandavas. Only one person remains, that is Karna now. And Duryodhana is now waiting when Karna will kill Arjuna. So it is mentioned that day when Karna was there, Krishna called Ghatotkach, the son of Bhimsen, and told him that in this battlefield, only two people can defeat Karna. One is Arjuna and other is you. So go and try your best today. And Ghatotkach said, yes, today either I will be killed or he will be killed. It happens that day in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it was such an intense fight that the warriors forgot when the day ended. And the fight continued in the night also. It was such a ghastly fight. And because it went in the night, it is mentioned that Ghatoshkaj got an upper hand. Ghatoshkaj being born in a demonic race, the demonic race gets more powerful in the night time. So with all that power, now Ghatoshkaj attacked the Kaurava army. And the Kaurava army was fleeing. And Karna was the only person who was like, the whole battlefield was getting empty, except Karna, who could face Ghatoshkaj. And there was intense fighting, so much so that Karna could not kill Ghatoshkaj. And he saw that Ghatoshkaj was intensely rampaging and destroying Kaurava army. He had no other recluse, no other shelter. And Duryodhan shouted to him that you have that Shakti weapon which Indra has given you. There is a background to this Shakti weapon. It is mentioned that Indra came to ask from Karna the armor and the kavach which he was wearing. Surya had already told Karna that Indra will come to ask for armor. And when you cannot refuse, ask from him the Shakti weapon. So even though you don't have armor, but Shakti weapon is very important. And that Shakti weapon can also kill Arjuna. So when Karna, even though Surya told Karna not to give the armor, but Karna could not follow his father's advice. And as a material compassion, material benevolent person, he gave the kavach, but he also asked for Shakti weapon. And Arjuna told him, Indra told him that you will get the Shakti weapon, but you can only use it once. Once you use it, the Shakti weapon will come back to me again. So Karna had kept a Shakti weapon with him for Arjuna separately. And now Duryodhan told him to use that Shakti weapon. And Karna employed Shakti weapon and killed Ghatoshkaj. So when Ghatoshkaj was killed, it is mentioned when Ghatoshkaj saw the Shakti weapon, he came to know that now my time is over. Immediately expanded his size to the utmost degree he can. And then he fell down dead on the Kaurava army. So devotees are expert in doing extra service. Even at time of death, he thought of doing some extra service before dying. So when Arjuna asked Krishna, how Karna could kill Ghatoshkaj? Then he told about Shakti weapon. So Arjuna was surprised that many times in the battle of Kurukshetra, I met Karna face to face. How is that he did not employ Shakti weapon that time? And Krishna told him that I bewildered Karna and made him forget to use that Shakti weapon. So many times he came in front of him, but he forgot that he has Shakti weapon. But how long he will forget? Someday he will have to confront you. So therefore I sent Ghatoshkaj. And now Shakti weapon is gone. So now we have no worry against Karna. And soon you can fight with him and kill him. So then that took place. And then we know that how the story goes. That when Dronacharya was killed, Ashwatthama became very much angry. And he came. And he came with so much of anger that he started destroying the Pandava army. And finally in his anger, he released a Narayan Astra, which he had got from his father. So Narayan Astra was released, it shooted out huge fire gallons on the Pandava army. And the Pandava was surprised how to retaliate this. And Krishna, who is Narayan himself, he told that I know how to retaliate. When Narayan weapon comes, you cannot do anything. You just have to throw your weapons down and offer dandavat to that weapon. And then when you offer obeisance to the weapon, then the weapons will not have any effect on you. But if you fight against the weapon will become much more powerful on you and will destroy you. So immediately all the Pandavas, all the weapons and they all fell down offering obeisance to the Narayan weapon. But Bhimsen was very unhappy. He was saying that how can Ashwatthama start destroying our army like that? So he was still standing and was trying to fight. And because he was trying to fight, that weapon became more stronger on Bhimsen. And Bhimsen's body was ablaze in fire. So Krishna told Arjuna immediately to invoke the Varuna weapon, and there was a shower of rains on Bhimsen so that his body could cool down. And as mentioned, Krishna ran to Bhimsen and pushed him down. He said, offer obeisances. Otherwise, you cannot retaliate. And this Bhimsen was also saved. And the Narayan Astra was retaliated. And it is mentioned that later, when Karna was incited by Duryodhan, Duryodhan told Karna that something has to be done. Till Arjuna is killed, we cannot win. And Karna told that today, either I will die or Arjuna will die. So it is mentioned that day, Karna fought so severely that no one could match him. Yudhishthir Maharaj came in front of Karna And it is mentioned that Karna utterly defeated Yudhishthir Maharaj, and Yudhishthir Maharaj had to flee. But Karna kept that thing that he did not attack Yudhishthir Maharaj. And also he remembered that he had given the promise to Kunti that I will not kill the four Pandavas except for Arjuna. I can't promise for that because he is my arch enemy. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was very much disappointed. He was so much injured that he went back to his tent. Now Krishna was, Arjuna was moving towards Karna. Krishna told Arjuna, I think so Yudhishthir Maharaj is in danger. He needs help. So let us go and meet Yudhishthir Maharaj. Now Krishna should not have taken Arjuna back from the battlefield to the tent. But there was a reason for Krishna taking Arjuna to meet Yudhishthir Maharaj. When Krishna brought Arjuna to Yudhishthir Maharaj's tent, Yudhishthir Maharaj thought that Arjuna has already killed Karna and he has come. So immediately started glorifying Arjuna that only you could defeat Karna, and I know that you have beheaded Karna and he lies there. His head is lying there on the battlefield unattended. But then Arjuna reveals that, no, I have not defeated Karna. Karna is still fighting there. I have come just to see that whether you are safe or not. And Yudhishthir becomes so angry and he starts shouting because he was challenged by Karna and he has got utterly defeated. And the only shelter he had was Arjuna, and Arjuna also has come running from the battlefield. So he starts shouting at Arjuna and finally tells Arjuna that you are so useless that you should give up your Gandiva bow. Actually, Arjuna had taken a long before vow that anyone tells me to give up my Gandiva bow, I will kill him. So here was Arjuna ready to kill Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Krishna intervenes, wait. And then he tells Arjuna that he should not do it because he is your elder brother. And it is mentioned that Arjuna tells that I cannot give up my vow. I have taken a vow. Then Krishna makes an arrangement that you should fulfill your vow by insulting Yudhishthir. When you insult a Kshatriya, it is as good as death. Dishonor is worse than death for a Kshatriya. So immediately Arjuna starts insulting Yudhishthir Maharaj. Whatever he had in his head, mind, everywhere. His heart was never against Yudhishthir Maharaj. But all the logical, illogical reasons he had why Yudhishthir Maharaj should be insulted. He used all those reasons and he insulted Yudhishthir Maharaj. But then he became so ashamed that he told Krishna that I have insulted him. How can I please him now? That insult has to be, because he's my elder brother. So Krishna told Arjuna that if you want to atone for this insult, you please Yudhishthir Maharaj. And how would you please Yudhishthir Maharaj? Yudhishthir Maharaj would you only please if you kill Karna. Then Arjuna takes a vow. Today I will kill Karna. And then he enters the battlefield. And then we see that how, even though Karna is, then we see Shalya. Shalya has become charioteer now of Karna. Duryodhana approaches Shalya that he should become charioteer of Karna, and that and Shalya disagrees because as per the norms, Karna was a Sutaputra, not even Kshatriya, and Shalya was a great Kshatriya. How can a great Kshatriya take the role of an inferior person in terms of helping a person who is Sutaputra? So then he agrees only when Duryodhana starts glorifying Krishna. Duryodhana knows that Shalya is a devotee of Krishna. And he says, just like Arjuna, we have Karna. But there is Krishna and no one can match Krishna. He is a charioteer of Arjuna. Therefore, he has upper hand. But you are very dexterous. You are very able. Krishna is great. But we want some great person like you. So Shalya is very happy hearing the glories of Krishna. And he agrees, okay, I will become charioteer of Karna. But then, I want some rules from my side. And that rule is that whatever I say to Karna, Karna should not mind. Then we know that how Shalya remembered Yudhishthir Maharaj's request that he should discourage. And that day he was like heavily discouraging Karna. That Karna, you are useless, you good for nothing. Just wait for Arjuna to come. Krishna is there. And then we will see you going down the battlefield and no one will even attend your funeral ceremony. Something like that. So Karna is like rebuked by his own people and all of his tempo of fighting for Arjuna was going down, but he was still fighting very vigorously. It is mentioned there was one Naga, Ashwasen, who was the son of Takshaka. When Arjuna had destroyed a Khandava Prastha with Krishna, it is mentioned that in that Khandava Prastha, Arjun through Agnidev had killed Takshaka's wife and Takshaka's another son. So Ashwasen wanted to take revenge on Arjuna because it was him who had killed. And it was his contribution that his son, his brother and his mother was killed. So it is mentioned that Ashwasen entered as a Naga Astra in the cure of Karna. Even Karna did not know that he had this Naga Astra. And when Karna wanted to take an arrow to shoot Arjuna, the Naga Astra came in his hand. And Karna was surprised, what is Naga Astra? But he kept the Naga Astra and hit the Naga Astra. And when Krishna saw the Naga Astra coming, it is mentioned immediately Krishna lowered the whole chariot down. And the Naga Astra, which had the aim of Arjuna's head, when Arjuna's head came down, the Naga Astra hit the pole of the chariot and the chariot pole came crashing down. Means that Krishna saved Arjuna. And then we see that how Krishna, when Karna was about to fight again with Arjuna, Karna remembered suddenly his two curses. One curse was by a Brahman who told him that because you have killed a cow, Mother Earth will one day swallow your chariot wheel when you fight with the deadliest enemy. And second verse he had received from Parshuram, who told him that when you need your weapons most, that time you'll forget all the mantras. So at that time, Karna saw Kal personified in front of him. And then Kal personified spoke to Karna, "Karna, your time has come. See, your chariot wheel has gone inside the ground." And it is mentioned that Karna saw the chariot wheel down. Then he decided to employ Bhargava weapon, Parshuram's weapon, so that he could employ that and keep Arjuna busy. Meanwhile, he can get down and he can remove the chariot wheel. But he chanted that mantra, but he could not invoke that Bhargava weapon. He lost. And finally, he had to come down and he was removing the chariot wheel. And Krishna told Arjuna, "Take this opportunity and kill him." And immediately, Karna was shouting that, "How can you kill me like this?" And Krishna reminded him of all the injustice he had done against Pandavas in terms of insulting Draupadi and killing Abhimanyu. And then Arjuna immediately shot an arrow and killed Karna. I think so. Time is already over. And so we can see in this way that how Krishna was helping all of his devotees, Pandavas, to fight to win the battle. Finally, Duryodhana also was killed. And it is mentioned that we are discussing Kunti Maharani's prayer. After all this is over, Kunti Maharani is amazingly praying that, "Krishna, you remain here. But you feel that we are safe here. Krishna, let all the calamities come again and again. So that when all the calamities come, our remembrance for you is very strong. And then you come to us. So instead of you going, better you leave here and we have all the calamities. We don't want this unparalleled kingdom here." That was the attraction of Kunti Maharani. She was praying for her sons, she was praying for herself. And the epitome of all things is the last of the prayers, Kunti Maharani is saying that, "Please remove all the attachment to my sons and also to the Vrishni dynasty." That is, so we can see the purport which we spoke of. Srila Prabhupada saying that how we should come out of bodily concept of life. So even though when a devotee is praying for his own relatives for protection, who are also devotees, but a back of the mind devotee knows that ultimately I am praying for someone's body. And therefore, even though he is praying, the ultimate prayer is, one should know that ultimately time will come, the material world is full of problems, everyone has to go from this place, and therefore he has to be ready to also detach himself or herself from the same family for whom he or she prayed for. That's what Kunti Devi is showing us, that how we may pray for devotee family, devotee relatives, but we should also pray that one day that attachment also, which will keep us in this material world, should be severed. So that nice lesson we learn extra from the Kunti Maharani's life, that how she prayed to detach herself from her glorious sons. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. I'm sorry it was very late. Prasad is waiting for all of you. But I would like to ask Srinathji Prabhu, you have some comment? You want to add something? I'm very sorry, very late. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.